This is an encore presentation of The Breakdown with Christopher Hayes. This episode first aired July 15th. New episodes of The Breakdown will be available on thenation.com and through iTunes on Friday, September 10th. For a complete archive of The Breakdown, visit thenation.com/thebreakdown.
Welcome to The Breakdown, brought to you by The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. I'm Chris Hayes, Washington editor of The Nation. Each week here on The Breakdown, we take your questions via Twitter at Chris L. Hayes or via email at TheBreakdown@TheNation.com. The way it works is this. You send us questions about what's perplexing you this week in Washington, and we try to break it down.
Will I run to the rock? Please hide me, run to the rock. Please hide me, run to the rock.
Hello, welcome back to The Breakdown, week 25, episode 25 in a collector series. This week's question comes from Walt Thode, W. Thode, on Twitter. He asks, what would be the cost of gasoline without the subsidies, tax breaks, environmental costs, etc.? An expert on environmental policy named Terry Tamminen is here on the line with me to answer that question. Terry Tamminen has headed a number of environmental groups. He was Secretary of California's Environmental Protection Agency. He's the author of Lies Per Gallon, The True Cost of Our Oil Addiction. Terry, thanks for coming on The Breakdown.
It's my pleasure.
All right, Terry, so we're paying about, what, $2.50 around there, $2.80 a gallon of gas. What would we be paying if you took away all the sort of state support for the oil industry? Maybe first tell us what that number might look like and then walk us through what those different layers of subsidy are.
Sure. I mean, my calculations show that it's about $10 a gallon, roughly $7 more than whatever you're paying at the pump at any given time. And some of those things are direct tax breaks. You know, the U.S. federal government gives the oil industry tax breaks for things like the depletion allowance. So as they develop an oil field like BP is doing in the Gulf, in fact, the oil that is spewing into the Gulf will be the subject of a tax deduction because that field is being depleted. Now, They did nothing to put that oil in the ground. It's not like a farmer who has to plow the field and plant the field and so forth. They did nothing to make it happen, but they are allowed to deduct from their taxes the depletion of an asset that they had nothing to do with creating. They get various other subsidies for, obviously, depreciation of drilling rigs and a variety of other things, experimental projects that they work on and so forth. And that ends up to be about $100 billion a year. The Defense Department talks about defending oil around the globe, which does not include the war in Iraq, at another $100 billion a year. This is a U.S. Defense Department estimate. If you add the cost of the war in Iraq, which at this point I think most people understand was now entirely about oil, even Alan Greenspan, former chairman of the Fed, in his book last year noted that that was his view, and he was an insider in the administration at the time, is now $1 trillion that needs to be divided over the cost of our oil addiction. And then you start taking things like healthcare costs, which are actually paid by taxpayers through Medicare and in the state of California, Medi-Cal and so forth, just like smokers. And the cost of smoking to states for dealing with healthcare costs and cancer and lung disease and so forth, all of that from petroleum-related air pollution has to be added to the true cost. Things that you wouldn't expect, like crop depletion. The farmers in the Central Valley of California lose as much as one-third of their crops to petroleum-related air pollution, just like it harms our lungs. It also harms things like leafy lettuce or broccoli. And the list goes on and on. So you end up with hundreds of billions of dollars and divide that out over the gasoline we purchase, and it ends up being about $7 more per gallon.
So just to make a conceptual distinction here, there's a certain amount in which the government is, either through the tax code or actually through direct subsidy, subsidizing oil, and if we took that away, you know, it'd be more expensive. And then there are kind of ripple effects of the cost of both petroleum extraction and petroleum pollution. Those costs are also not part of what we pay at the pump, so you add those on too. But those are two conceptually different categories, even if they add up to a true cost.
That's right. And then there's still more. I mean, I only put things in my book and in that $10 a gallon figure, or $7 on top of whatever we pay at the pump figure, that are on somebody's balance sheet somewhere and that actually, you know, you can point to and measure. But add things like, somebody who has asthma and can't report to work, lost work days, that obviously means something. And actually, some of the most impacted workers come from the oil industry, as well as people who are obviously breathing smog every day. There's lots of other costs that you mentioned in your initial question, environmental costs. What is it doing to water supply? In fact, we're now going to see BP's oil in the water supplies throughout the Midwest of the United States and all the way up the Eastern Seaboard, because hurricanes will be venting a lot of that oil from the Gulf. And as you know, if you've ever watched the Weather Channel, when a hurricane comes up through the Gulf, it doesn't just stop at the shoreline. The rain drives all the way up through the middle of the country and up the Eastern Seaboard. And that rain will be taking BP oil and the dispersants used in the Gulf and dumping it in reservoirs and water supplies and into people's lungs for quite some time to come. So all of those environmental costs are virtually incalculable.
I want to come back to this tax break for depletion. Explain that a little further, because I actually find that mind-blowing. Is it the case that the oil spilling into the Gulf is going to end up on BP's balance sheet later in the year as a tax write-off?
Well, I can't say that for certain. I'm not a tax accountant, I'm not doing their taxes, and I'm sure their political advisors may tell them that even if they're entitled to it, to take a deep breath before they do that. But yes, that's exactly right. So when they develop an oil field, and I, not to be cynical about it, the rationale behind it is that even though they didn't put the oil in the ground, in theory, once they pay for the rights to drill somewhere, and then they obviously spend quite a bit of money developing the field, it's no different than depreciation on a machine that a factory uses, that they buy and then they depreciate over time. So the government says, all right, look, you spent money to develop that asset, and so you're entitled to deduct from your taxes some amount of essentially depreciation. And in this case, it's called depletion. But, on its face, absurd, because, again, the actual resource is something that they were given the right to go drill compared to other companies and to make lots of money on in many ways, and it shouldn't be at the tax taxpayers' expense.
Right, and presumably also the depreciation break that is in the tax code for fixed capital investment applies to the actual fixed capital investment they're doing, like the rig and all whatever machinery they buy. That actually has a depreciation schedule that presumably shows up on their taxes independent of the actual depletion of the oil field.
That's exactly right, and that's fair. I mean, that's the way all of
business
works, and that's certainly fine. Nobody would argue with that, at least under the current tax code. But again, this notion that they can deplete a natural asset that they had nothing to do with creating in the first place is rather absurd.
Wow, that's really something else. Let me ask you this question. Have things gotten better or worse in terms of the degree to which we are subsidizing the oil industry? Is there a relationship between the answer to that question and the fact that the price we pay at the pump in real dollars has remained quite low for a long time?
Oh, I think it's gotten far worse. And yes, that's one of the reasons that we continue to put downward pressure on something that should actually be in a real market, should actually be going up, because it's becoming more scarce. I mean, we're now going to the tar sands in Alberta, Canada, and extracting oil that takes 3 units of energy input, a lot of natural gas and other energy sources input to get that stuff out of the ground in order to get 1 usable unit of energy out and into your gas tank. So we're expending North America's natural gas wealth in order to now extract, the last remaining drops of oil from the sands of North America. We're killing people around the globe. I mean, we certainly did so before in many ways for oil, but again, the Iraq War is obviously a very dramatic and very expensive and very recent example of that. So, when you start to look at the desperation, I mean, even look at the Deepwater Horizon drill, unprecedented depths in the ocean to which we've gone to get that stuff, very, very expensive to have produced that oil in the first place, and now even more expensive to clean it up. So absolutely, no matter where you turn, the cost of our oil addiction is rising. And yet, as you point out, gasoline remains relatively low priced, and that is only because of the continuing and growing subsidies.
Terry Tamminen, thank you so much for coming on The Breakdown.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Breakdown is a weekly production of The Nation Magazine and TheNation.com. New audio casts are posted each Friday at TheNation.com and available on iTunes. The Breakdown was produced by Eric Nang and yours truly. Senior producers of The Nation are Emily Douglas and Ben Mosquita. Comments and feedback should be sent to TheBreakdown@TheNation.com.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to?